Is it rolling, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Saturday morning. You can tell from the noise in the background that I am back once again in Bluffers Park. And a special bonus. I've mentioned before that during the summer, they put a gate up on this parking lot. And they pay some guy minimum wage to sit there in an armchair in the shade under an umbrella and charge people $7 to park unless you are going to the restaurant, in which case you can get it deducted from your food bill or something like that, or part of it. Because I guess the restaurant somehow has the rights to this parking lot. So when normally it is full of cars, today it's this part where I am, you know, the cat side, is empty. Because people ain't gonna pay that $7. Come on, man. So I drove right up there, saw the guy for the first time this year. Forgot, it was a Saturday morning. Not here weekdays. And I just cruised right up and said, hey, I don't want to pay $7 for parking. I'm just here to have a coffee. And almost kept on going, and the guy just sort of looked at me. Didn't quite smile, but didn't move and didn't say anything. It was so nice. It was as if I had magical powers. I put him under a spell. Now, I don't want to say that, because if he heard me, he'd say, hey, you bastard, get back here and pay your $7. But he didn't. He just let me roll on in. So here I am, happily, with my Tim Hortons fruit explosion bagel and a medium coffee. I should have got a small, but got a medium. And sitting on my favorite bench, because there ain't nobody else around, having just posted up on Twitter and Swarm, which I still don't like, my presence here. So let me get a bite of this muffin. A little too sweet. Probably not good for me, but I needed something. I didn't have any bread with my cereal, so. Alright, I'm not going to do any more eating while talking. But it's time, Saturday morning, to start another podcast. And one of the reasons I do these podcasts as regularly as I do is because it makes me feel like I'm doing something, which I am, obviously, but also takes me away from that shitty feeling of not doing all the other things I need to be doing. Not just should be doing, need to be doing. Like preparing for my students. I don't know. I think I go through this every year. Holy shit, talk about hot pink shorts. And a bum to go with it. Anyway, sorry, I do get distracted. Focus, Ken. Focus. Focus, man. Jesus. Yeah. The things that I should be doing, that long list, I should be sitting at my computer going through, but all the other jobs I can sort of get done in a crunch of time, just bam, get down to it, get this done, and apply myself. I can do it. It's this nagging, dark, horrible feeling of not having host families for all my students that there's not a whole lot I can do about. I went to my Eden Court Lawn Bowling Club. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, so be forewarned. If you were tired of hearing me talk about church, you're going to find that even worse listening to me talk about lawn bowling. Because that's what you're going to be hearing in the next few minutes. I talked to the treasurer, vice president, the man who, or membership secretary, and asked if I could put up a poster about my need for host families. And I just left it with him. I didn't see the poster go up, but he seemed to be very open to it. And I offered to make a contribution to the club if I get any members through this. Mainly, as you know, being lawn bowling, seniors, elderly people, or Chinese people, young Chinese, who aren't always as receptive to hosting young Japanese girls. History may have something to do with that, and maybe their English is not standard English. Sometimes, it's not always true, but that is sometimes true. So I don't know if I would ever get anybody from here, but at least it makes me feel that, okay, I'm looking in other areas, other venues, trying all the leads I can, because damn it, I got to get those 7 girls placed, or darkness will descend upon me. I can feel this dark curtain coming down. I mean, it's really, really bad, because it's like something you have to do, but you don't have necessarily, you don't know if you have the power to do it. It's probably good for me, in that it scares the hell out of me. Like, there's no way out. Like, I'm panicked. It's like claustrophobia. You're in a room and the walls are moving in on you, and they're getting smaller and smaller, and the time is running out and the oxygen's running out, and my God, it's just a matter of days, weeks only before these students are arriving, and every single one of those girls has to have a family waiting for her with open arms. And I don't have that. And that's not just something you can just buy or go down to Home Depot and get. So let's park that. This is why I podcast, to relieve myself of that strain and that anxiety and that stress and that worry. Home Depot, I was just at, again, to make me feel like I was doing something, checking out the variations on Thompson's deck waterproofer. This is something you apply to your new deck. Remember last year we got a new deck. This time my son has said he will do it. That's why I bought the power washer a week or so ago, which you heard about here on the Dixon James podcast, episode number now 565. So many variations on the color of the stain, or no stain at all, semi-transparent. Oh, the variation. So I took pictures of all of it, and we'll go back and talk about it with my wife and my son and decide whether we need a roller or a brush to apply this and how much we have to buy. And then sometime next week, I will go into Home Depot and get what's required and get that process started, because that is a project that has to be done this summer, the deck stained. Yes, one more thing on the list. And it'll feel good, especially if my son does it. Now, yesterday, are you still with me? Okay, I haven't lost you so far. Yesterday was pizza day and bowling, or bowls, at the Agent Court Lawn Bowling Club. I got a call from the membership man. Ken, I haven't seen you in here. And I said, don't worry, I'm on my way. Get there, and there is a nice little pin with my name on it, that you with a set of magnets. So you just put that on your shirt or hat or wherever you want. And it feels great. Hey, I'm a member. I have this neat little badge I can wear. I was dressed appropriately, the right flat shoes and everything else. And you give in your name, you pay $10, and you look over at the counter, and there's a couple of ladies serving wine with the Agent Court Lawn Bowling Club. So somebody has made this. We've got our own label, and you got red or white. Well, that's nice. $10 is for the pizza, a couple of slices, a couple of big salads, ice cream for dessert after your last game. What wonderful fun. So you get out there, and this is actually a real game with scorekeepers and a skip and a lead, and you're formed onto a team. Our first game, tied 49-49. Wow, that's pretty neat. Second game, we had a skip who was very, very good. And we won. We won handily. The end of the night, they announce the scores and who's, you know, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, right, all the way up to 1st, 2nd. Our skip had the 2nd highest points when you added in from all the team, you know, the score that we got from the 2 games. So he gets a little envelope. That's pretty neat. And then next thing you know, he's standing in front of me and he's handing me $15. What's this? You won. I didn't win. You won. No, no. That money that the skip gets is divided with the team. So, paid my $10 for the pizza, the wine, the ice cream, the salads, had two wonderful games of bowls, and walk home with $15 in my pocket. This is a thrill. And I'm going to tell you, it's because I held up my end. I think, you know, I'm not going to be a star like our skip, but I'm going to do a decent job. This is a sport that I'm not going to say, well, I'm no good, I don't have coordination, I can't do that. That from the very first game I played in that wonderful little town whose name I can't remember in Australia when I was on the road trip with the boy, from that day when I actually beat the boy, playing for fun, one of them we were drinking beer, I love this game. So this is just a follow-up and let you know that yours truly, Scarborough Dude, actually under the name of Ken, is delighted to have joined this lawn bowling club. You heard it. You heard the whole story unfold. Should I? Shouldn't I? And all it was the same for the church. And it's the advice I'm trying to share with you. I mean, these stories sound like they're all about me, but really, I'm trying to share the little bit of wisdom and knowledge I have. And that is, always be on the lookout for signs and hints and possibilities. Because that first little thing that I heard about the church, about Greta Vosper, actually, got me in to, you know, check it out. And the same thing, that little ad that I just happened to catch, actually, you know, both of them were from papers, old-fashioned newspapers. One was the Toronto Star that got me to hear about Greta and go to the church. And the other one was in our local, whatever it is, the messenger. It used to be Lachine Messenger back then. This is whatever, the Scarborough Mirror. A little ad. Agincourt Lawn Bowling Club looking for new members. And I thought, well, find out where that is. Check that out. I can't do curling. I can't do, you know, any of the other active sports. Curling is a lot more expensive, but who knows? No, this is just the right fit for me. And I got to tell you something. I've been using these very small pink balls, which I love. I've just felt they've given me the right thing, right? You know, I just love it. I love the pink. I'm crazy about pink. You know that. But other people told me, well, those balls are much too small for you. You should be, what size are those? And I said, they're a one. Oh, my goodness, big hand like yours. You should be using a three, you know, a two at least, or a three. So I've done very well with these small, number one size, pink balls that belong to the club. But I'm going to have to go in the next time and face up to the reality. No, I'll try at least a two, jump up one more size, two or three, see how they fit, see how they feel, and rejig my game, you know. Okay, get used to the new weight, because it's all about the weight and the throw. I was told by two people that I had good delivery. Two different people. You've got very good delivery. And boy, the delivery is the one thing I don't even think about. I just do it. But it's the wonderful thing of aiming. Because you don't aim for the jack. Because your ball is going to curve. You got to aim off. And it's how far. So you're throwing the ball like towards the other lane, off the center line, knowing it will curve, but it'll curve depending. It's going to curve before the jack, after the jack, right on the jack. At least two times in the game, I kissed a jack. That is, touched it. That's not always a good thing to do, but it certainly means you were, you know, you had the right weight and the right, everything else. I've got the bowler's handbook in front of me, and I know you're saying, come on, tell us something we don't know about lawn bowls, its history. The Scottish are the first people to actually have officially organized it. Canada has been a member of the International Lawn Bowling Association since 1928. And that's a good thing. The International Bowling Board was formed in 1905 by the founding members Scotland, England, Ireland, and Wales. Well, wouldn't you expect that? Canada was first admitted in 1928, as were Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and the United States of America. Today, sports played in more than 40 countries. Okay. talking about the game. You don't need to know the rules. Etiquette, of course, is a very big thing. The different types of games. And then the vocabulary, you know. The position of your feet, the bend, the step, the grip, the stance. All those things that I don't think about, but apparently I do quite well. Oh, a very interesting thing about the alignment of the jack and the mat. And scoring, they set a way of your skip. You don't want to be shouting your scores out across the length of the rink. That's just bad form, and of course it'll interfere with other people's playing. And you do it by tapping your shoulder. And I think this is, I saw some people doing this, and I don't really know what they're doing. And then yesterday they gave me the bowler's handbook, and it's a very, very, very neat way of, you know, for your score. Hello, boy. Hello. Whatever your score is, you tap your shoulder the number of times. Like one, two, three, four. If we get four for our team. And then you tap sort of your hip, your lower leg, for their team. You slap it against your thigh the number of times that that they scored. So the scorekeeper, your skip, who's holding the scorecard at the other end, can write that down. Bias is a word you have to know. Heavy. When a ball is unintentionally delivered beyond the target, it is heavy. A bit heavy on that one, right? Narrow. When a player is insufficiently allowed for the bias, the ball will curve too far. This is referred to as being too narrow. Okay. Anyway, maybe you didn't ask for that, but I gotta tell you, I'm excited about having something new in my life. Now, speaking of something new, I think I mentioned maybe I played with the new members who joined the same time I did. He's from New Zealand, she's from PEI. I just found out yesterday, listening to their stories, they sold their house, bought a motorhome, big motorhome, big enough to tow a little vehicle behind it, and lived in their motorhome for 11 years. Now, isn't that incredible? Lived in a motorhome for 11 years. These are the ones right, where the pop-out sides, you know, left and right, and full bedrooms and everything else. Just amazing. Traveled all North America. And I think good for them. They seem very youthful, especially the wife. A very small lady who drove that thing. Oh, no problem. Easy to drive once you get the hang of it. And I was so impressed that here, you might say, well, lawn bowls, you know, a lot of old people, kind of boring. No, no. Each one has a story. Very interesting. So, anyway, here I've gone, you know, this whole thing. But what do we do on the Dixon James podcast? What do? I share my life with you, and if you're a friend of mine, or if you're an interested, I mean, friends I see on a regular basis, like Brian, who wants to go to the only cafe again tonight, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, it's just Wednesday, I don't know, I may not, people like that don't listen to my podcast, because I'm going to talk to Brian about lawn bowling tonight, for sure, and he just doesn't need to. But people I don't see so often are people who just like podcasting or have dogs to walk or whatever may tune in. Some perhaps listening a double time just to get it out of the way. That's okay, except for the good music I play and you miss. By the way, that Tom Waits tune I played in the last one, it really is worth listening to the words. The Roads to Peace, it's called, or go check it out yourself. Okay, I guess we're just about 19 minutes. Oh, my God, already. But that's what this... It takes me 20 minutes to unload, to get this out of my system, to be able to calm down, relax. I didn't finish my donut, didn't finish my coffee. I'm going to sit here. I got my Brian Jones book with me of the Beach Boys. Rolling Stones. It is a really sad story. He was a twisted character. But so mistreated by Mick and Keith. And this is not just gossip. This is real, you know. If they couldn't find him because he was busy talking to somebody, they just, you know, in the early days, just drive off in the van and leave him stranded. And it was Andrew Lou Goldham, who I always thought, wow, what a cool name. This must be the coolest guy who wrote, you know, he was, but not a nice character. And he just decided there's only one lover boy he wanted, and it was Mick. And so he teamed up with Mick and did everything possible to cut off Brian and leave him stranded and leave him hanging and making him paranoid and playing nasty tricks. That's sad. It was cruel, miserable, nasty. But I really like what this writer has done by he's giving a much more balanced picture. He's not seeing Brian as a saint, because he wasn't. He was just an asshole himself. But he could see, you know, both sides. All right, that's it. Scarborough Dude signing off. I'm going to put a tune in now. Maybe it'll be a Stones tune to go with this little clip. Or maybe it'll be something about lawn bowls. Who knows? Bye for now. Sitting on my favorite bench, except that there's a crowd of people around me, and the reason for that is somebody's got a remote control boat, like a tugboat, in this little inlet where the boat's coming in and out. That's very cool. But what makes it a whole lot neater, there are three or four of these. I cannot believe I don't remember the name. For these things that you buy in stores, you know, and you've got a remote control and they hover above the ground. And the thing that's in vogue now, And these are high-end models. Like, one of them looked like a helicopter. Just incredible. And so the boat was going in and out, and that's fun, and people are playing with it. But meanwhile, you've got these things hovering just over it and then shooting straight up in the air, and they've got lights on them, and they're coming back down, and there's three of them in sync sort of following the boat out, and it's a whole world. It's incredible. So you've got, on top of that, oh, they are pretty, pretty cool toys, I've got to tell you. I mean, I remember the days when you, my brother had an airplane, and, you know, with a little single-piston engine that you actually had to put gas or fuel in and spin that prop and get this thing flying, remote control planes. These are these hovering things. I just can't remember the word for them, but it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about. Definitely high-end. This is a regular spot for people to come down. It's a perfect place for them, just out over the water. There's what looks like a full moon, low in the sky. The sun is just setting the opposite side. I can hear some music, pretty loud music. I'm glad I'm not on that side of the park in the background. It was just kind of a neat little gathering. Anyway, I'm here to talk about something that's not as much fun. A little bit of a confession, I guess. Maybe a little more along the kind of thing that our good friend Francis Wooby was referring to when I read out his comments a few podcasts ago about being honest and, you know, not playing for the crowd or not playing up the role of Scarborough. This is Ken. And it happens to be Father's Day today. And no big deal. Went out last night. Great time out on the Danforth. Posted pictures and tweets and things at the Only Cafe, then the Square Boy, and then the Eaton House. Brian and his son's girlfriend and myself. And just having a blast. A lot of fun. Reasonably priced. No lineups. Just great, great. The Danforth, I love. My end of it anyway. East End. But still managed to get up for church this morning, and that was great. As always, chatting with people, found a new host family. All this is good news, but it's Father's Day. So I go on Facebook like a fool, and I'm seeing all these pictures, people posting of their own fathers on Facebook. You know, how much they love them, how great they were in some cases. And some I even knew, you know, friends' fathers. But then there's others, you know, these are like fathers who have long since deceased. Then there's others who are current fathers, like, for example, my friend Brian, who I was out with the night before. With this, you know, as most of them were, with the world's greatest dad tag. And, of course, in Brian's case, he probably is one of the great dads. The kids love him. He's just full of energy. He's traveled with his kids. He was out dancing on the Saturday, and he was up on the stage, or up on the dance floor at the Eaton House with the lovely Lauren, his son's girlfriend. A wonderful character on her own. But Brian, yeah, that's the kind of father. So you start seeing other dads and great dads and this, and I'm starting to feel a little self-conscious, because, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for long enough, I've just had this image of myself as not being a very good dad at all. And not for anything particular other than the fact that, and mostly because it's gone, that time is gone and will never come back. And I just have this, it's almost like a sickness, like a depression, the kind of thing you can't really reason your way through, that I could have done so much better. And you know, that is true. So, I'm feeling a little bit of discomfort, maybe a little self-pity. You know, nobody's going to put a picture of me up there as a dad. I've only got two sons. Of course, number one son called me from Vancouver, or FaceTimed me or whatever. And that was nice. And it turns out, coincidence, well, that was pretty funny. He and I have exactly the same bicycle. Neither of us, I didn't know that was the bike he had when he bought his. And it is exactly the same model. Both bought a Canadian Tire. He told me to be careful, they're not assembled properly, and he nearly killed himself on his when the, I don't know, the derailleur, whatever, I can't even pronounce it, came off. But anyway, I'm just starting to feel not good about Father's Day. Like, you know, gee, should I have posted a picture of my dad? What are you supposed to do? And then I figure, okay, well, came home, I'm really tired, I had a little nap. Well, my wife is dead tired. She's doing ironing and doing something. And is just tired, says, I haven't done my housework yet. And I'm saying, well, don't, or, you know, could have offered to do it myself, of course, but that doesn't work in my house. So just have a rest, go to sleep. Well, of course, 6 o'clock comes. I'm out on the deck, I've got Yuki on my lap, and I'm getting a little hungry. Now, prior to this, she had said the beef, these beautiful chopped ribs, you know, they're not ready. They need to be marinated another day, so we'll have those tomorrow. Oh, great. I see there's some sausages in the fridge, okay. But she says we'll get sushi. And then we remember, well, our favorite is closed on Sunday. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll go later and get some sushi. I didn't follow up on it. I didn't make the plan. I didn't research it. I just had that in the back of my mind. I'll go get some sushi later. That's fine. That's great. She says, we've got sausages. We'll have sausages for supper with sausages in the fridge. Now, I don't pick up on the clues. I don't pick up on the fact, wait a minute, we've already mentioned sushi. She would like sushi. Sushi would be a treat. I don't pick up on that. When she says, no, never mind, we'll have sausages, I take her at her word. Well, you don't do that. Now, I don't know how many generalizations I can make here. You don't do that with women. You don't do that with your wife. You don't do that with, in particular, a Japanese wife, because they won't always say what it is they really want or mean. You're supposed to know. Well, I didn't pick up on it. And you'd think after 30 years of marriage, I would know that when the first mention of sushi was there, that was my clue. And that sausages, which I know she's not terribly fond of, was not the answer. Well, I didn't pick up on that. So, bam, we're off. So I'm lying out on the deck. I've got a cat on my lap. I don't see any signs of my wife. I'm getting hungry, and I'm starting to feel sorry for myself. It's Father's Day. I want somebody to treat me. I've seen all these pictures on Facebook of people being treated to a nice meal, you know. I look in the fridge. There's no beer. Well, it would have been nice if, you know, a Father's Day beer is something I wanted. If number two son was at home, if, you know, if he had gone out, maybe. Yeah, you know, that was asking a lot. But just, you know, just the thought. Yeah, a nice beer would have been a treat. Hey, thank you. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen him. I think maybe he's still sleeping at 6 o'clock. So I get a little huffy. And I phone him. I'm lying. I've got my cell phone. I phone him in his room just above me, shouting distance. I phone him at an inopportune time. And he wants to know why I'm calling when he can hear me out the window. Well, it's for supper. Well, you know, just give me a heads up. I'm happy to barbecue. He likes to barbecue. He does it every night or whenever we barbecue. But just give me a heads up. Like, what's this all about suddenly? I phone my wife. She's in the house. Well, no sign of her. No answer. Nothing. Okay, well, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm, where the hell's my Father's Day supper? Basically, it comes down to that. My wife has just woken up from her nap. Very tired. The housework hasn't been done. She's going to get on that. I see my son come out with the ribs. I say, hey, those are supposed to be for tomorrow night. They need another day to marinate. I don't know. Mom just gave me these. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what's going on? Next thing, I see sausages on the stove in the kitchen. Next thing, there's something else coming out of a pot. My wife is in the kitchen. She's cooking. That wasn't part of the plan. There's certainly no sushi in this menu tonight. Everything goes wrong, everybody's unhappy, everybody is arguing with everybody else, and it's a complete disaster, and a lot had to do with me and being my fault, but of course I'm not seeing it that way, I'm just feeling sorry for myself. Well, how come I don't get any respect on Father's Day? How come I didn't have a special day? I'm sharing it because it's so petty and so stupid and so wrong on my part. And you could be cursing me right now, too, and you'd be right, too. And I'm this is confessional mode. I'm embarrassed about all of this because it's just, I'm just totally in the wrong. Had I picked up on the sushi, yeah, that would have changed things entirely. Had I been a little more sensitive to my wife being very, very tired. And, of course, she still went out and did all the housework anyway. Didn't eat with us, wasn't hungry by that point, wasn't going to eat anything. My son and I have a rib and a sausage and nothing else. Now, so that you don't end on a miserable note, my son and I had dinner on the deck and we had probably a good 45-minute talk about world events and history and mostly through disagreements because we have very, very different views of what's going on in the world, and I question very much the websites he's visiting and where he's getting his factual information. But at least it's a discussion, and it was in harmony, and I'm asking about his gaming and what he's doing and what rank he is, and that part was good. That part was good. And that is maybe what fatherhood is about, you know. That's my number one son said, just, you don't go back to the past, you just keep, it's all about the present. And the present tonight was father and son on the deck having a conversation about history, politics, the future of Scarborough, etc., etc. So I guess that's it. I'm not happy about sharing this, but I felt obliged to. And this music is starting to fucking drive me nuts now. It's just boom loud. And I don't think it can be pleasant for anybody else in that part of the park. But maybe it's a special event of some cultural nature that I'm not aware of. So I'm going to put an end to this and go on home and get myself another drink. And I think I'm going to celebrate by tomorrow morning, getting up early enough to go to the Agent Court Lawn Bowling Club. And practice a little more with maybe a heavier set of balls or larger set of balls this time. Because, I want to do this. Today I was actually visiting websites looking at these beautiful things. And then they start at, $450 for your standard black set. The colored ones are an extra $50, $75 more. But I'm lusting after these things now. They just look so amazing. Okay, so this was Ken, not so much the Scarborough dude. This is Ken signing out right now and feeling a little bit embarrassed, a little bit ashamed. But life goes on. We have our ups and downs. And I guess a lesser being might have just decided to go and get drunk instead or pick a fight or become abusive. And, of course, I am not a lesser being. I am very much doing my best to be a better man. And maybe owning up to our mistakes is not such a bad thing. All right. Take care. Bye for now.
Hello, Tom. This is John from Michigan. I called to let you know that I really enjoy your show. I'm a new listener. It's a great show. I've been listening for about 3 weeks now, and I just can't get enough. I do spend a lot of time in Ontario myself. Ma's got a place there in Fort Erie, and I've been up the Toronto way a few times, saw some Pink Floyd shows up there, and I wanted to call and let you know how much I enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks again, Tom, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, I heard you. Yes, the correct name is Drones. They were drones. Now, I got to tell you, I got up from the bench and walked over to a guy's car. He had the trunk open, and inside was a computer live screen where he could see his drone on the camera on that, because all the drones had cameras. This was too cool. I mean, there were people standing here in awe. There was four or five drones all at once, like all different models, going, shooting way out over the water, zooming up high, coming back down. Then the guy who had the boat, I mentioned there was a boat, a remote control boat. He also had a very neat remote control kind of Jeep. Well, he drove that along the path over to where the drones were, and the drones were coming over and hovering over the Jeep. I got a few pictures, so hopefully one of them is good enough to post with this podcast. It was a gathering. I mean, it was amazing. There's at least, I mean, these were all guys. They knew how to handle. They weren't just hackers saying, how do you make them go up and down? I've been here before when there's been one. But this was a gathering, an organized gathering. And it was mighty cool, I'm telling you. These things were just amazing. These are top quality crafts. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than it was well worth the show. Now, this is a bonus for Bluffers Park. I wouldn't want to see this every night of the week. But for tonight, the neatest thing is there's parking lot. A couple of police invests parking enforcement. And very good sports about it, having a blast watching it, just, you know, checking out. And here we are, you know, the smell of weed, that wasn't a bother at all. They were good-natured. Guy landed his drone right up on top of their van, like right in the roof. And the guy said, all right, I'm driving away with that. That was funny. And you can see the potential of these things, absolutely, for search and rescue. By the way, this same place right now, Bluffers Park, where I'm at, just a couple of weeks ago, two men were found drowned, I guess, washed up maybe on shore. Two fishermen, and I just heard about it in church because there was a connection. Somebody from the church is, I guess, their son or daughter was going out with one of the men who was involved. And these were experienced fishermen with life preservers, not out there drunk or anything else. And somehow they drowned, capsized boat, and they drowned. So kind of tragic things happen, but Scarborough Bluffers Park here is a mighty cool place. Oh, there's another one. When they are up, like, totally high with a bright light, and especially when he sent two of them off racing, like, towards the moon, it just looks so cool. Seriously. I know there are, you know, the Anthony Marcos of the world are not too fond of drones, but these are hobbyists, and they were... They knew what they were doing. It was pure entertainment. Okay, I'm off. Bye. For now.
I am the little red rooster, too lazy to crow for day. I'm the little red rooster, too lazy to crow for day. Keep everything in the farmyard upset in every way. Dogs begin to bark, hounds begin to howl. Dogs begin to bark, hounds begin to howl. Watch how strange can be. Little red roosters on the prowl. If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. If you see my little red rooster, we'll be right back.
Chick. Thompson Park. I just was on the other side of this Brindley Road. There's a little ravine park there, too. Lovely spot. Parked in the sunshine, tilted the seat back, opened the moonroof, and fell asleep. So now I have crossed the road. I'm officially back in Thompson Park. I don't think I will bother to check in. But I'm checking in with you. It's a Wednesday evening, getting near 8. 8:20, well. Beautiful, beautiful summer evening. Bit cool. I'm wearing my shorts and a short-sleeve T-shirt. Enjoying the freshness of it all. And wanted to add another bit to this, what's going to end up as Dixon Jean's podcast number, 565, maybe? I was a little embarrassed. I felt a little embarrassed about my whining on Father's Day, kind of feeling sorry for myself. And it was kind of just, I wouldn't say silly, but, you know, sometimes we get in places, we just get a little emotional. But that should be okay. I should be accepting of that, and you should too. Anyway, I guess I was sort of feeling a little bit sorry for myself. Nothing really. It wasn't a really special Father's Day. There were no gifts and toys. And then, sure enough, next morning, just before my wife leaves work, she was really feeling terrible the night before, and that's why things kind of went off the rails. And the next morning, she was fine. She had a good night's sleep, and she hands me a bag and says, I hope it fits. And it's an absolutely beautiful shirt. I really liked it. And it was just something she did do, you know. And wasn't that she went out afterwards. She had done it, but just that night she wasn't ready. Father's Day, it was a Monday morning. She gave it to me. Now, unfortunately, it was a tapered fit, one of these slim fits. And I got a bit of a belly on me, and these things just, you know, they taper in the wrong direction. If they sort of, you know, any other way, and it would have been fine. And she was a little disappointed because she said, it's extra large. And, yeah, it might be extra large, but it's tapered fit. And so it had to be returned. But it was just the idea that she had thought about it. She had done something kind, and she's just been so good to me from the beginning, and I just should be so much more grateful and appreciative of everything I have. And I guess that's all the only thing I wanted to put out here now. That I kind of had it wrong. And then I look back and she said, I saw you and Chuck talking on the deck, and I just wanted to leave you there. And it's true that after, as we cooked our steaks together, our meat, we did stay and have a long talk about just life and Scarborough and the future of the white race and everything else. It was good. So now here I am thinking, well, I kind of wanted to not erase that, but fix it to let you know I'm in a better place, and I am. I had my usual afternoon visit to see Tony and Wei today. Two people I know from the church, both professors, retired, of course. And it's always such a pleasure to go over there with their daughter as well and just talk. And I talk a fair amount about sort of my upbringing as this middle-class white kid in the 50s, 60s, and hear about their backgrounds. And they're both very educated, and it's like, you sit around for 2 hours and you talk. That's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. And we make plans for other things that we're going to do. And sometimes we do talk a little bit about the church. And in the morning, started off with the men's group. And we had a very, very deep and, you know, compassionate talk about end-of-life choices and the right to die, the right to doctor-assisted suicide. And that's worthwhile. And these are, again, very educated people from different backgrounds. And that's what life needs more of. So I'm just celebrating that fact. I'm happy that I found this church and the new people in it. And so I can say today, 6 hours, well, no, two, at least 4 hours of good conversation with different people with different perspectives on important topics. We even did the Cultural Revolution and Chairman Mao's legacy because they were in China at that time. And yeah, it's all worthwhile. So, in the lawn bowls department, a lady was selling hers, $80 for a set of four, which is a good price, but of course there are others, and these are in good condition. And she said, well, why don't you just try them for a game or two, and then you decide. So I did try them, and we played 12 ends, I guess, right? Three people playing, three against three. So two teams, three on each team. You're only using three balls each. And for the first of the 12 ends, maybe for the first eight, I could not get a decent shot. And I could say, well, of course, I was using these new balls. This is the third set I've tried. Nothing at all like the little pink ones. They weren't little, but the pink ones I was using to start with. I just could not get it right. Couldn't get the curvature, the bias, you know, shots are going out of bounds. It was really embarrassing. And then finally, one of the men, I guess the lead on our, or the skip on our team said, well, just take your time. You're shooting a little fast. Somebody else said, keep your hands straight. I looked down at my hand. Okay, yeah, I was kind of twisting it as I threw. And this means take your time. Don't be in a hurry to shoot. It's a mistake a lot of novices make. And I did that and started getting better shots. In fact, I got a couple of really great shots right towards the end of the game when it counted. And I think our team ended up winning after all. So that felt a little better. I'm, again, glad I joined this and another. The conversations there are more just chit-chat and joking about the game and other things, although I've talked to a number about my homestay program and the need for families. No luck there yet, but still, it's another whole area, and it's an organization. I think I'm just going to keep this going, like, go through this year and sign up again next year, and I think this will be a sport for a while. It almost has to be because I just found out that I thought, I'm considered a novice, and I thought a novice is your first 3 months or something, or maybe your first year. They said, no, you're officially a novice for the first 5 years. So they have tournaments, and there are novice tournaments. I was thinking, I could get in a novice tournament because it'll be somebody else who's only played for 2 months, too. No, I could be playing against somebody who's played for, 4 years and 10 months. There's no way I'm going to put myself through that embarrassment. So anyway, I have one more set of balls. The membership director pointed me in direction and said, look, these ones are only $20. Give them a try. Just, use them for a year and then decide what you want. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Again, they're bigger and heavier, and it's something that gives me joy and pleasure and great, great exercise. Well, great for me, it's relative. I mean, we're not talking a heavy-duty workout here. We're talking about walking up and down the rinks, but continual bending and stooping and all of that stuff. So that's all. I just wanted to give you a little catch-up. Tony gave me a book today called Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic, author of The Sorrow of Empire and Blowback, Chalmers Johnson. He's written quite a bit. This is a part of a trilogy. It's the last one, and I'm amazed that I didn't know anything about him. I love the definition. Nemesis, in Greek mythology, the goddess of retribution, who punishes human transgression of the natural right order of things and the arrogance that caused it, or that causes it. That is Nemesis. But this gentleman has written a lot of books. So this looks a little heavier duty. I'll just put Brian Jones aside for a while, although I'm still really enjoying that. The details. Now that I've already read one book about him, when he talks about his time in Morocco, getting a different version, and the time with Anita Pallenberg, who, was another just crazy people. It's just it's fun and it's exciting and it's real life, and it had an impact on many of us out there. I mean, we were impacted to some degree, certainly by the Beatles songs and by the Stones and by their image and what they represented. So it's all good. It's all good. It's all good in my crazy head. And that's all I wanted to share with you. So boys and girls, Dicks and Janes, kind and understanding listeners, I'm going to go home now. Read. I'm fasting, too. That's another thing. I got to get blood test tomorrow morning. So, I'm going to go home and read. Try not to watch television. Scabra Dude, Sometimes Ken, signing out. Bye for now. Oh, and I'm still in deep, deep doo-doo as far as getting host families, but I'm getting there. Friday, I'm interviewing two new families. Interviewing. I'm already counting on them, but one will take the teacher. That is great to know. All right. All for now. Bye-bye.